Hey, this is Seth Juarez from Channel 9 here in Prague, Web Expo 2015. I have the good fortune of being in a beautiful city.
You are.
It's a beautiful city here.
It is.
So tell us a little bit about who you are and what you do.
Okay, so my name is Cédric Malou, that's a French name. And I'm actually an internet entrepreneur. I've been doing this for 20 years. And right now, for the past 2 years, I've been running Startup Yard, which is a startup accelerator. We follow the same principles as Techstar and others. So it's a 3 months program, mentoring, workshops with people like Microsoft, for example. We're a partner of Microsoft. And we basically help young internet entrepreneurs to grow their businesses.
I see. So what are the biggest challenges with starting an internet business?
Where do I start?
I know. It feels like there's a lot of trouble just getting off the ground.
Yeah, I think what are the challenges? Some of the challenges we used to have was to have a lot of money. That's no longer the case, because now you can really start a business with a small budget, with the new technology out there. It's much easier. So that's one off the list. I think one of the difficulties is to have the drive, the ambition, the ability to keep on going at it, and not be afraid of the unknown, and just to go and to attract the right people. One of the big challenges also is now everybody wants to do a startup. It's like the fashionable thing to do. So you have to bubble up with the right idea and with the right solution.
I see.
That's the kind of thing that you have to face.
So let's start with the beginning. So at Startup Yard, say I come to you with an idea. How do you know if the idea is a good one that you're even willing to look at? How do I know if I have a good idea, I guess?
I always say to people, if you have an idea, try to convince yourself it's a bad idea. Because you don't want to spend the next 5 years of your life working on a bad idea.
Yeah.
And also it's hard enough with a good idea. So if you have a bad idea, it's really, really hard. So you should really try to convince yourself it's a bad idea. And if you can't convince yourself it's a bad idea, ask people around you to convince you that it's a bad idea. And then if everybody tells you it's a bad idea, then and only then you should try to do it. But there's no recipe. If there was a recipe, I would not working anymore. Yeah. I would be living an amazing life on some island somewhere in the Caribbean. Uh-huh. But what we're trying to look for, and at Startup Yard, we're trying to find people who try to solve a real problem, because sometimes you invent a problem that you think people have, but they don't really have it. Mm-hmm. So that's the first thing. We look at, is this a real problem that other people have? And is this a problem that people around the globe have? Because we're really looking for global businesses, even though we're based in Prague.
Sure.
It's not a limitation for us. We're looking for entrepreneurs who have that vision, that global drive. So first of all, we look at that. Is this a real problem? Or is this just a feature of something else?
I see.
Because if it's a feature of something else, it's not a business.
Okay. So if you want to do a startup where you want to store pictures online, that's already kind of...
That sounds like a feature.
Yeah, that's good, yeah.
Yeah, and I think we already have enough picture storing on the web, even though you can come up with something revolutionary. If you do come up with something revolutionary, then you'll have to prove us that it's revolutionary, and then indeed we might look at it. Also, what we look at, and it's maybe the most important thing, is you. Mm-hmm. Do we think... you are able to grow a business.
I see.
It's the hardest. I'm going to maybe upset people if I say it's the hardest job in the world to be an entrepreneur. But for sure, it's not easy.
Yeah.
And you have to have the charisma. You have to have the willpower. You have to have the ambition. You have to be able to attract the right people. You have to be able to make tough decisions. You have to be able to be alone. Because at the end of the day, even if you have a team of 100 people behind you, you alone, and whether you succeed or fail, it's your fault. It's not your team's fault. So you have to be able to take that into, so we pay a lot of attention at the founders.
I see.
And then we look at the idea. And sometimes you have a good founder and a bad idea, but that's okay, because the idea can change. But if you have a bad founder that we don't think has what it takes, even with a good idea, we usually pass.
I see.
So there's a, really a mix of both. The right people with the right solution to a right problem.
So I guess I started wrong, because I started with the idea, and you're telling me that it's actually the founders that are important. So what are some of the qualities that you look for in a founder that are just like, yeah, that person can do it?
You know, I often said that I don't want to be ashamed if I send those founders to a demo day, like to on a stage, like today at a conference. I don't want to be ashamed if I send the founder to a client, to a partner.
I see.
How do you do for not making me ashamed? You know, it's a lot of psychology. It's a lot of, you know, how you can see when you look at someone if that person is an ambitious person or not. You know, you can see it in the eyes. You can see it on how they talk. You can see it on how they think. So, you know, I was yesterday in Pristina, Kosovo, when we ran an event for founders, for entrepreneurs. And I met quite a lot of, you know, very young entrepreneurs who want to succeed. And I could tell just by, you know, talking to them that I would put my trust in them, or I would not put my trust in them, because I would not believe they can do it. It's hard, and I try to be a nice person in my life, but saying no maybe sometimes is the right thing to do. Sometimes it may be giving them a service to tell them, just don't do it.
Yeah.
You know, just don't do it.
Well, even as an entrepreneur, you've got to learn to say no too.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah. So now we have a good founder, we have a good idea. What's the next step? What does Startup Yard do thereafter?
So, you know, there's multiple routes to success, but in the past 10 years, those startup accelerators have bubbled up everywhere around the world. The first one was Y Combinator, which was founded in 2006, I think. So those startup accelerator, what we try to do, and it's not called an accelerator by coincidence, and I love the fact that the first one was called an accelerator. What we try to do is to accelerate success and failure, which means that if you're going to fail, we're going to help you to fail fast. You're going to succeed, you're not going to succeed fast, but we're going to give you all the tips, all the tricks, all the pieces to make sure that you're not going to fail and that you're going to succeed.
Right.
So how do we do that? Well, we surround ourselves with a network of what we call mentors. So we have at Startup Yard about 100 mentors who are people like me, people who have been in the industry for more than 10, 15 years, and who love to give back and who love to share their experience, whether they're bad or they're good. Because, you know, there's three ways to learn something. You can learn on your own by reading articles, blogs, books, watching videos like the one we're doing now.
Sure.
That's the first way. You also can learn from someone else, by talking to someone, by tapping into their experience and their knowledge. And the third way is you learn by doing things. The typical example is pitching. You can read every single book on the planet about pitching, but until you go there on stage alone with your little slide and your little clicker, you're not going to learn how to pitch.
That's right.
So accelerators help you to learn by sharing and by talking with people who have experience and by doing things. So that's what we do, and it's a very intensive program. I call it the washing machine. It's for 3 months. And just to give you an example, you know, we accelerate business connection. So we have these 100 mentors, and our team, for 1 month, every single day, they meet up to 6 mentors. So imagine 100 meetings in 1 month in the real world. To get 100 meetings with top level people from our industry, it would take a long time.
Years.
Yeah. With us, it takes 1 month. So we accelerate that, you know, this business connection as well. So that's why I love the fact that the term accelerator, it's really trying to do as much as possible, as fast as possible.
That's awesome. So let's talk about some examples of some of the companies you've helped accelerate.
Sure. So far we have accelerated 35 companies.
Wow, that's quite a lot.
In 5 years. So it's about 7, on average it's 7 per year. Out of those, I'm quite happy that 60% of them are still going, which when you compare to the chance of succeeding or surviving when you start a business,
it's quite
low. About 20%.
Yeah, it's quite low.
So I'm quite happy to see that, you know, our team are still going. So we lost 40% of those, but the other one are still going. So we have B2B companies, B2C companies. The most important thing for us is that, as I said, they tackle a global problem. Also, from a business perspective, is that their business model doesn't rely on advertising, but rely on a transaction. So we like businesses that actually sell something which is not page views or eyeballs. Because purely relying on advertising is very dangerous. Yeah. It doesn't scale. I was lucky to survive the internet bubble in 2000. I was lucky to survive the financial crisis in 2001, simply because at the time I had a business that was selling something to people instead of relying on marketing budget from customers. So we have, from the last program we just run that finished in June, we had one company in mobile and Internet of Things security. We had one,
which is very important right
which
now.
Which is very hot at the moment.
Very important.
You can speak to some big companies who are very sensitive about that topic. I won't name any names.
Everyone's really excited about IoT, but they're not talking about how are you securing these devices.
Yes, and they're not secure right now.
No, at all.
That's I guess you saw the video of two guys hacking a car remotely. So this company is actually addressing that, and they're doing very, very well. So I'm very, very happy for them. We also had this year a company that was working on predictive analytics.
Oh, fantastic.
Trying to figure out what type of product people are going to buy based on trends. Mm-hmm. So that's very interesting. We have another company, I could say it's a competitor to Shopify. So it's to help people sell online and set up their shop online. Yeah. There's still space for newcomers there. Last year, we had a company, which is a very interesting one. It's an Albanian search engine. Albanian, as it turns out, doesn't share, even though it has the same root as some of the language, it developed its own language. Mm-hmm. So Google or Bing do not understand Albanian. So they saw this gap in the market and they thought, well, let's build a search engine so that people from Kosovo or Albania or Macedonia who speak Albanese could actually search the web, which is about a 12 million market size. So that's one of the exceptions, that they're not addressing a global market, but they can really own a big niche. So we quite like them.
So let's talk about, you're giving a talk today.
Yep.
Is it about the same kinds of things?
Yep. I'm doing a talk which is called Are Tech Accelerators Useful? So I'm going to say to them, I have two versions of my talk. I have the 1 second one and the 20 minute one. So I'll do the first 1 second. The answer is yes.
Yes.
Right. That's it. That was my talk. But now what's more important is to understand why they are useful and how they are useful.
I see.
And as I said to you, I'm part of the first generation of internet entrepreneur. 20 years ago when I started in 96, there was no ecosystem. There was no community.
Yeah.
There was certainly no role models. There was no success stories. So we had to try with our hands, our brain, fail, retry, test. We had to learn by ourselves.
I see.
Now that I'm running an accelerator, I see how useful we are. Just by tapping into that knowledge, tapping into that experience. So without a doubt, we are useful.
So why Prague? I hear Prague has one of the lowest unemployment rates in all of Europe.
That's correct.
What is the tech scene like here in Prague?
It's very active. The level of the developers is extremely high. In fact, it's no surprise or secret that a lot of big companies, even American companies or European companies, actually have development centers in the Czech Republic, because the developers are very, very good. They're good mathematicians, mm-hmm. they're good in physics. So at the end of the day, that's one of the appeal of the country, a very good source of developers. Just to give you an idea, if I'm not mistaken, from the top of my head, the main university here in Prague, which is called Charles University, is producing 60,000 scientists per year.
Wow.
Right?
That's a lot.
That's a lot. And still, everybody's looking for developers. There's still not enough developers on the market.
My goodness. And these are computer scientists or just general scientists?
So general scientists, and I think within that, about 30,000, so about half, are computer scientists.
That's a lot.
That's a lot. That's a lot.
Well, that's awesome.
Breathe.
No, I know. Well, it's good to be here. It seems good. Like a wonderful country, wonderful city. Cedric, thanks so much for spending some time with us, bud.
Thank you.
Thanks so much for watching, and we'll see you next time. Take care.
Bye.